morning. Thank you for being here this morning. I almost feel like a guest speaker after being kind of absent at the pulpit for a couple of weeks. Dorothy and I would like to personally thank everyone for their thoughts and their prayers at the loss of Becky. This morning, this is actually a lesson that I had prepared to preach at the gospel meeting at Meadowbrook on the 15th of last month that I was not able to attend. So I thought maybe it would be a good lesson for the church here in Tipton. Because we as the church here, we need to know that we need to be completely devoted to Christ and that He must be first in our lives. Many people see religion as something done out of convenience. They attend worship service when there really isn't something else more important going on. Or they will select a church to attend because it's close to home or because of some event that's taking place or because there are children around the same age as my children so they'll have someone to play with. But being a true Christian isn't always easy. Jesus told His disciples about the hardships that they would face as they went about teaching the gospel. He tells them to not fear when people were going to try and kill them. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, many times we are afraid to speak Jesus' name in public because we fear what they may say or what they may do. I believe we have it fairly easy here in this country today for the simple fact that we are not physically persecuted. If you will remember when Ronnie Gotam, I believe that's how his last name is pronounced, from India, was talking about the persecution taking place over there where Christians were literally being put to death by horrible means. Jesus told His disciples that there's going to be hardships. And we as Christians, we need to understand that there are going to be times in our lives that we are having difficulties, that things are not going to go as planned. Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before him, or before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven." How many times have someone said to us, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And maybe because of the crowd that we're in, we answered, "No, I hope not." Too many times in our lives as Christians, we become so afraid to boldly confess Jesus Christ that we keep silent when we should be very vocal. Jesus also tells us, in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 34 and 36, It says, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth." Now, that's a statement there, isn't it? "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." Then he goes on, he says, For I am come to set a man at variance against his father." That word variance there literally means to make apart. Literally, to tear the father and the son apart. "Set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household." I don't believe anybody here really has that problem. But there are those in the kingdom of God whose family has disowned them simply because they believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They've been baptized and had their sins washed away, and they became a part of the kingdom of God. And because the rest of their family do not believe, they're set apart. Many times they're not welcome, even in their own families' homes. But then Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 37 and 39, He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Now, does that mean that we cannot love our mothers and our fathers? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He goes on and He says, "And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." The problem is, people tend to leave their cross at the door of the church building. Yeah, we struggle with it while we're here, but yet when we leave and walk out the door, it's like putting our coats on the coat rack. We forget about the cross until the next Sunday. Then we grab it as we walk through the door and hold it up for an hour, maybe two. We must take up our cross daily. That is something that has to be done, not just once a week, but every day of our lives. Jesus foretold about His death. But Peter simply refused to believe it. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23 and following, when Jesus foretold that His death was coming, Peter basically said, "No, Lord, we're not going to let this happen. Far be it from You." But do you remember what Jesus told Peter? Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, could you imagine Peter standing there and saying those words to Jesus Christ, and then Christ literally calling him Satan? But you know, Jesus was not really calling Peter Satan. But He knew that was a work of Satan, trying to get Jesus not to go through with the plan of God. But you know what the biggest problem was? The biggest problem was the fact that Peter was trying to lead and not follow. Peter was trying to lead and not follow. Peter was not taking up his cross and following Jesus Christ. If we're going to follow Christ, we have to take up our cross. There's no way to follow the Savior without our cross. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake. Is it flashing out there? Okay. Sorry about that. Sometimes the plug is not seated correctly. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, it's important for us to understand what it means to take up our cross. Literally, when Jesus says that we must take up our cross, it has the idea of a nautical term of weigh anchor. You know, when a ship is set at anchor, when they go to get up steam and go out to sea, they don't cut the chain and leave the anchor on the bottom. They pick it up and they take it with them. And that's the same thing that we as Christians need to do. Whenever and wherever we go, we need to be carrying that cross. We need to weigh our anchor and take it with us. So that wherever we are, Christ shines through us. It's important that, again, that we understand about our cross. Our cross is a cross of self-denial. Our cross is a cross of possible exposure to even death. Now, I pray that that never happens in this country. But it may. It may come to that one day. But right now, we're so afraid of what people think. We're so afraid of what others may think about us, that we kind of hide our cross, don't we, many times? That we don't carry the cross where people can see it. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious. You know, I'm not talking about what they called these people back in the 60s and the 70s at the airport, jumping around, beating tambourines. They called them Jesus priests. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is us taking our cross and daily living for Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and being ready always to give an answer for the hope that's in us. That, brothers and sisters, is carrying our cross. You know, after a confrontation with the Pharisees, Jesus talked to the crowd that was following Him, and He told them that they must put Christ before family. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 26. And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned, and He said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I think that's pretty plain. I believe that Jesus here telling us that Christ must be number one in our lives. Now, does that mean that we are to literally hate? I don't believe that's what Jesus is teaching. Because if you will, notice what He says in verse 27. And whosoever doth not, and if you see there, I've got that underlined. And the reason I underline that is simply because that phrase, doth not, literally is an absolute negative. And what that means is, it can't happen. it will not happen. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot, absolute negative, be my disciple. You know, we can claim to be a Christian. We can claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But yet, if we are not carrying that cross, then we're truly not Jesus' disciple. Discipleship comes with a cost. Are you willing to pay it? Notice Luke 14 and verse 28 through 30 that Brother Mike read just a few moments ago. For which of you intending to build a tower? All right, let's make it in modern time. Because I don't think anybody here today is going to go out and build a tower, are you? But you might build a house. You might even build a she shed. Who knows? But the fact is, if you're going to build something, you have to count the cost. Can I afford to finish what I'm about to start? I don't know how many times you can drive out through the country and you see a house or a barn that is half completed. But you can tell by the weeds that's grown up and the weathered look of that half-finished building that the people did not count the cost. And it was never finished. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What Jesus here is telling us, brothers and sisters, that if we don't count the cost of being Christ's disciple, if we do not understand the cross that we have to bear, and we give that cross up, men could actually start mocking. If we don't count the cost, then many times we're unable to finish. Not becoming a disciple also comes with a cost. Are we willing to pay that price? Luke 14, verses 33 through 35. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is simply saying here in these few verses that a Christian that is not bearing his cross is worthless. That's what he's saying. Just as salt, if it loses its flavor, it's not good for anything. Literally, it's just cast out. And the same is true for us as Christians. If we are not bearing our cross, if we are not carrying that cross, then we're worthless. We're worth nothing more than to be thrown out and trampled. The level of commitment for all disciples, not just the apostles, is very large. And I think many times that we simply do not count the cost of what it's going to take to be a faithful Christian. You know, too many people approach religion with the question, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it? They won't follow a way of life unless it promises them some benefits. Now, there are great benefits to being a Christian. In some ways, it is a life that you can live easier than a sinful life. Because we know that we're free from the worry of a spiritual death. You know, I'm not saying that living a Christian life is going to be easy every day, because it's not. We're going to have pain. We're going to have anguish. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulation. But we know that in the end, we have a great reward waiting for us. Life as a Christian can be difficult. There will be persecution. But Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes that blessed are you when men persecute you for righteousness' sake. Blessed. Blessed even when we are persecuted. There will be tribulation. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Oh, wouldn't it be great to have peace in the world where there were no wars, no famines, no disease? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, the battle's already won. We just have to get to the finish line. The battle is already won. The cross in Jesus' day, the cross was the most gruesome form of death at that time. And those that were about to be crucified were made to carry literally the cross beam of their cross to the place to where they were going to be crucified. To carry your cross is to go where you don't want to go, do what you don't want to do, and perhaps even stay longer than you want to stay. But it must be done. True discipleship involves bearing one's cross. Luke 14, verse 27, and whosoever doth not, there's that absolute negative again, his cross and come after me, cannot, absolute negative, be my disciple. That's scary, isn't it? That's scary. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, and that means to hate mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, brothers, sisters, cannot be my disciple. The old way of life must be crucified. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, or by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. When we become Christians, when we obey the gospel, we are crucified with Christ. Our old life is gone. The old way was not Christ, but I. That was the old way. The new way is not I, but Christ. Just in the song that Brother Don led a few moments ago, none of self and all of thee. At the beginning, that's how most of us are. You know, all of me and none of you. But when we see the work of the cross and we accept the saving grace, then it's none of self and all of thee. The life of I has been put to death. Now Christ is supreme in everything. Instead of responding to the calls of the fleshly nature, Paul tells us to set our affection on things above. Colossians chapter 2 or 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not the things on the earth. Literally, Paul says here, we need to exercise our mind. Exercise our mind. Set your mind on the things above, on the things of God, and not the things of this world. Passions and desires and hungers are channeled all in the right direction. You know, the word discipline and the word disciple are very closely related words. A disciple is a disciplined individual. He is one who bears the cross of discipleship. There was a group of people that was getting a red carpet tour of a very large, expensive church building. And with great pride, the minister pointed to the very rich imported pews and all the luxurious decorations. And as they stepped outside, darkness had fallen. And a spotlight was shining on a very large cross on top of the church steeple. And the preacher spoke up and said, "That cross alone cost us $10,000. But someone in the crowd spoke up and said, "Preacher, you got cheated. Christians get a cross for free. A cross that we carry." Jesus gives us a great example. Jesus did not look forward to dying on that cross. In fact, He prayed that it might depart from Him, that He would not have to go through it. He did not desire to die on that cross, even though He knew the need and the good that would result from it. Just as we today, we do not look forward to being labeled haters, narrow-minded, even a cult, racist. But yet, despite the dread, Jesus went voluntarily to the cross, just as we, carrying our cross, even though we many times may be persecuted for our belief and our faith, we carry on. We follow Jesus' example. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Brothers and sisters, I do not think that verse there gives us an option. We don't have the option of following or not following if we want that home in heaven. We must follow in Jesus' footsteps. That is the level of commitment Jesus is asking from each and every one of His followers. Christianity is not about me. It's about serving God and serving our fellow man. We should be willing to give all to Jesus. Why? Because God gave His all. God gave His Son to die for each and every soul on the planet. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." There'll never be another one. There'll never be another sacrifice for sin. It was given once. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Are you willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Are you willing to count the cost and become a child of God? If you're here this morning,